Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, however you're listening to us. We thank you. We appreciate you. Today is Monday, March 2nd. Happy March to all those out there. March 2nd, 2015. We are back with Sports Opinions with Chuck and P. We are here to talk NBA today. Probably get back to the NFL within a week or so to talk free agency. But for right now, we're still strictly NBA, college basketball. It's March Madness is approaching. Chuck, we have a number of things to get to today. First things first is yesterday, I started to watch a game, head from a friend's house, coming home. And it's the second half, and LeBron and James Harden are just going at it. what was interesting about this game is I think LeBron has been, sort of putting out there that he should be in the MVP race, and sort of put it on display lately with the last few games with his play, against teams like Golden State. But he came out there yesterday. They ended up losing to the Rockets in overtime. He missed two crucial free throws down the stretch in overtime. I mean, what did you think at the game, though, Chuck? What was your overall thoughts?
I watched the game from, like you said, about
– It was a good game, right? Or am I
wrong? No. Okay. It was a great game. One thing before we get into the whole LeBron, and we got to talk about James Harden MVP talk, is the fact that Kevin Love just really sits outside and shoots threes all fucking day. Excuse my language, all day. Like, why? And all day. Shout out to that new Kanye. Oh my goodness, the City Father brother came out and goodness gracious, that thing hit. But back to the subject. Kevin Love, he just shoots so many, like, why does he just do, like, he shoots well from three, don't get me wrong, but it's just so much, and it really blows me. But, back to LeBron and them, I think LeBron, like you said, he's been trying to put on display every time he comes out that, I'm an MVP candidate, you guys need to respect me, I'm still the best player in the league. He had a great game versus Curry and the Warriors. I'm sure he really had this one circled, and he knew what he was going to do. But let's just look at the game. A great game, albeit. He shot 15 for 35. Very not LeBron-like game. He was 3 from 11 from the free throw line. That's LeBron's weakest part of his game. That's always been 75, 77% career shooter from free throw line. So that's his thing. But he doesn't choke like that. Like, those free throws were choke free throws. I don't care if he had a bad game shooting free throws. He choked at the end. You're supposed to at least make one of two and forced the Rockets to hit a game winner. So as far as that, he choked. And I think James Harden on a national stage in front of, a Sunday afternoon in front of the whole America showed that he's, if not the MVP this season, he's one of those top players that you're going to need to know his name and need to respect him because he put on a show last night. Yesterday afternoon, and I think it was one of the better performances I've seen all NBA season thus far.
Yep. What's interesting to me about this game was obviously the fact that they're two good teams. Like you said about Kevin Love, yeah, he does. I mean, the guy shoots threes. I mean, he's not. I think. I didn't watch him much in Minnesota. Who am I to lie right now? But, the first few thoughts is this guy was a low post. The guy, what I'm saying is he wasn't much of a low post threat at all. It was more so rebound, get the ball back in. But my
thing at least in Minnesota was that he at least seemed to not shy away from the paint, if that makes sense. the bump in the paint, that bump with the other big men wasn't something he wasn't shying away from. It looks like he literally does D-cuts outside of the paint to get right to the 3-point line as fast as possible. And it's just exasperating. It's truly because if they really think they're gonna go far, Miles Goff can't be the only. We get it. Miles Goff is for defensive purposes, and he's supposed to be that defensive presence at the rim, which you also need to have an offensive presence, and it can't just be LeBron dunking on people all the time.
Yep, I mean, LeBron, it's their offense. I mean, that's usually how he plays, though. He needs shooters around him. The thing about Chris Bosh, though, over – you know, a guy like Kevin Love is Chris Bosh can play the 4 or the 5. And Kevin Love can't really play that 5. And Chris Bosh is long. So when he's, you know, if he needs to get in the paint, which he was not always in the paint at all, like Chris Bosh will tell you, he shot his fair amount of threes. And, you know, he probably wish he got in the paint and got more touches. But if you want to play with LeBron, these are the sacrifices you have to make. But, I mean, you also have to be very efficient at your role. And Kevin Love has sometimes reaches that efficiency, but I think Chris Bosh, you know, perfected that role, you know, the big man role with LeBron. And I don't know. I don't think – is he back next year, K-Love, in Cleveland?
No. I mean, I don't see how he comes back. It doesn't make sense for him, at least to me. Like, why come back and be – like, how old is Kevin Love? Maybe 26, 27? Like, why be the third best player, or even if not the third best player, the third best option on a team when you're a caliber player and you could go play somewhere and just get as much money and not be in Cleveland? Like, I mean, I think people overhype the fact of, like, playing with great other great all-time great players and superstars and winning titles. Like, this is a business. Dudes do this for the money and for themselves, so, like, who the hell wants to live in Cleveland but LeBron James? Like, nobody. So why not go get your money and go somewhere else where it's probably a lot warmer, a lot more intriguing things to do. And, yeah, and I'm sure LeBron James isn't the easiest person to play with, especially for a player like Kevin Love. So I see no signs pointing to him coming back there next year. I'd be 100% surprised if he decided to re-sign there.
Yeah, I mean – I would say I'm going in the same route with you. I doubt if he resigns, but I mean the only reasonable way I can see if he resigns if he wins the championship and you know wants more or is hungry for more. But you can also flip that and say he won a championship, he's going to be out and get his max deal. So yeah, I mean I don't think he stays, but honestly I don't think Cleveland's going to need them. Going to really need him as much as. They think they are in the long run. So, I mean, it's an interesting dynamic to see, but, you know, we'll move on from there. I saw that you put this in the little brief outline that you sent me, but the Spurs, the dynasty, you're saying, obviously this is the first time that they had a negative record on their annual rodeo trip. They've been taking this trip for, I guess it's 12 years now. They went 4-5. Chuck, what do you think they're done? Is that what you were trying to get at with it? Or
okay, when I was framing the question was more so, are they over as far as championships goes? And when I mean championships, there was a point in was it between 2011, 2013, or 2010, 2013, where they couldn't really get past the second round, and everyone was saying, "Oh, are they done? Are they done?" Then they ended up. Now they've been in the last three conference finals,
right?
If I'm not mistaken. So even though they haven't won three titles, they've been to two. They won one. They've been around more often. They've been a model of consistency. They haven't. This may be the year they don't win 50 games. I think that's the first time in what 15 years. I don't know if I got that correct, but I think it's somewhere around 15, 16 years or 50 straight wins, minus the lockout in the game knockout season. So, I think once those sort of things start to taper off, it's hard to see them as like this dominant team where every April, May we're looking saying where are the Spurs, how what's the Spurs impact here? I think we start maybe shifting that to asking every May, June, what's the Warriors, what's the Rockets? I mean, I'm not saying it's happening now, but I'm saying we're getting to that point, and I know it's just a regular season. I know it's a road trip. They got a lot of older guys now. But, you know, it may be the end. Tim Duncan had to end for him somewhere. And I think this is where it starts.
My thing with watching the Spurs is, I mean, I still believe they're a model of consistency. They're still in the playoff hunt. You know, the Western Conference is as tough as it's ever been, you know, as you watch all of these guys. And the seventh in a conference isn't but too far from the third or fourth in a conference, so many games out. So, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but guys like, or not even guys like, well, Tim Duncan himself, just another all-star year, just been playing like, you know, if his team was a higher seed, he would be an MVP candidate to me in my eyes, just averaging a double-double, still at his age, just still, you know, being the anchor and, you know, leading the team to the playoffs. The biggest question mark we have here, in my opinion, is Tony Parker has just been playing like a scrub lately. I don't mean to say he's not a scrub at all. Obviously a four-time NBA champion, but, you know, like some people like to point out, you know, point guards and all of these miles on them. He's, I guess, been 13 years in the league now, 14 maybe, but, you know, it's tough. It's going to be tough for them. Now, obviously, they have older guys, but, you know, they've had the injury bug hit them. And I expect Tony Parker to play well or better in the playoffs than he's been playing. How much worse can he get at this point? So, you know, him and Manu obviously have to step it up, but they've shown that they can step it up over a period of time when they get in the playoffs. And I don't see them, you know, just being a team to get knocked out very quickly. But guys have to perform. Kawhi Leonard has to turn on that switch that he turned on last year in the finals and go. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's some sort of master plan, but when people count out the Spurs, history says that it doesn't exactly work that way. They're still a contender. They're still a team to be dealt with. Obviously, you know, but coming off two back-to-back finals, it's definitely going to be harder for them. But if they don't win it this year, I could see them keeping that team together and competing for it next year. But Tony Parker has to be healthy. He has to play. He has to play better.
All I'm saying is that as the way you're saying seventh isn't far from the top, seventh isn't far from 11th and 12th either. So it could go either way with them. And all I know is that people don't – it's history also says that when you get older, you lose something. Like, they got to lose something. Like, they've extended the clock for so long. It's like, how long can you keep it? They've extended this clock at least by 4 years in my estimation. At least by 4 years. So is it like they're gonna keep extending for another 4 years? That's like a decade at that point. That's an extension. I don't believe it.
I mean, yeah, you can argue that, but these are the champs. And 6 months ago, they were right there. They were winning the championship. So I'm going to give it to them. I'm going to 9 months ago rather, but I'm gonna Spurs want to count on the coaching, the experience. And I feel that Tony Parker is playing mind games with the NBA right now. Come April, May, he's going to be ready. But as we move on, I feel like we got some people trying to call in, Chuck. I don't know exactly why the call-in isn't working. But a tweeter says, F the Spurs. Those are his words, not mine. So as we move on, though, Chuck, what do you want to talk? MVP race, the MVP race right now, obviously, like you said, Curry, Harden. Would you say Russie is still in it right now?
Yeah, Russie.
Okay.
I think, me personally, Russie is my front runner. Only for these two reasons. Kevin Durant has been hurt. Oh, so has he, but Kevin Durant is the reigning MVP and a man who averages 30 points per game on close to 50% shooting, like it's nothing. You're losing that plus other injuries and trades and like a whole, like this is not the same Thunder team. This is a whole new Thunder team. Mitch McGarry coming off the bench getting 20-9, I think like 2 nights ago. So like throughout all of this, Russell Westbrook is playing phenomenal. And like in the last 8 games or like in the month of February alone, the guy averaged what, 30-12-9? I think only other person to ever do that in a month was Oscar Robertson. Like, you know, when anytime they start throwing your name out there with Oscar Robertson, like that's when you're doing something. So for me personally, I think it goes Westbrook, Harden, Curry. And Harden moves, and I would have had Curry over Harden like 2 nights ago, but Harden's performance on Sunday just notches him up. And I think him and Westbrook are literally fighting for that right now. And you know what's really sad about all of this? We're talking about all the great performances. And last night, Curry had 37-5 and like 6, I think. And it's just like that's just gonna get overshadowed because, you know, everyone is just having like these crazy good years right now. This is just gonna be one of those years where a person who's very deserving of it will not win.
But on the contrary, I would say it wouldn't get overshadowed because he's the MVP right now to me, Steph Curry. Like, obviously, like you said, right now, Russell Westbrook is doing crazy things. Like, when you compare the guys like Oscar Robertson, who averaged a triple-double in the NBA, it's a major, you know, you're doing major things, major milestone, but that team right now is in eighth place, and if we're talking Spurs are closer to 11th, then, you know, Oklahoma City's closer to 12th, and it's just, I think obviously OKC is going to get in, just like I think the Spurs are going to get in, because they're better teams than teams like Phoenix and the Pelicans right now. But as far as the West, the class of the West right now is Golden State, and Steph Curry is the the engine that makes that train go. So I put it like this: you put a guy like, I guess, Patrick Beverly in that starting point guard position, I think they're battling for AFC right now. Steph Curry makes so much magic happen just right now in the NBA. Obviously, he's probably the number one person you want to watch as far as putting on a show. But I think Harden's definitely in the conversation. I would probably have him 2 right now and Westbrook 3rd because, you know, Harden – without playing with Dwight, but even though they say this, I'm thinking Dwight is not that great of a player right now to be playing with James Harden. And, you know, I think they'll be, you know, say if they traded Dwight Howard this offseason, I think they'll be all right with any pieces that they get as far as a big man. But MVP talk right now, I got Steph Curry, Chuck. We got a caller calling in. So I'll get you right
I'm
now.
Here,
caller,
you
there?
Me?
Yeah, what up, caller?
Okay, man, I don't have a question, but just I want you guys to talk on the Phoenix Suns in terms of direction. They're not bad, but they're not good. They kind of blew it up, but not really. What's up with them?
I'll let Chuck take that.
All right, see, I wanted to talk about throughout all the trade stuff because they were the team, I felt like I said they lost the most, and they're really sort of like the Sixers of the West. And let me explain. They were stockpiling a lot of guards and a lot of swing men, and they had one big man, Alex, when they drafted him. So they have that. But they never, ever made a move for another, like, big man piece or another piece to sort of bulk up their front court. They just sort of put everything into, like, these sort of tweeners and, like, backcourt players. So then they had three great guards, and they were using them for trade bait. Like, I was more than positive one or both of them were going to get traded, or two of them were going to get traded out of that trio. From the time they signed Isaiah Thomas, I was just like, what is this? This makes no sense as to winning. You know, it doesn't make you bad. It doesn't make you better. And any time a team in the NBA does that, that means they're trying to do something else. I don't know whether Phoenix thinks they have, like, or they have the destination that they can land in, like, a superstar free agent. Maybe that's their thinking. Personally, God knows. Like, I have no freaking clue. I have no insiders in Phoenix. I don't even care that much about the team. But from an outside perspective, just like watching their basketball moves, they seem to be planning for something. So whatever that is, whether it's the free agent, whether that's a bigger trade with other people, I just don't know. Because unless you're telling me Eric Bledsoe is your man and we're riding behind Eric Bledsoe because he's the one who they did give the max contract to out of those three. So, I mean, maybe that's a thinking. I hope they're not that foolish to be thinking Eric Bledsoe is their knight in shining armor. But, you know, I've seen NBA teams do more crazy things. So, hey, that's my take on Phoenix and what they got going on over there.
My take on them is they're just, I don't know, they're in flux right now. They don't know exactly what they're doing. They had so many guards to start out the year, so many guards, like guys like Archie Goodwin and Tyler Ennis that never even played. So these are lottery picks for them.
Exactly, but that's what I'm saying. Like, what do you stockpiling? What? At one point, you're right. They had Archie, Ennis, and then the three guards, Bledsoe, Jordan, and Thomas. That's
right.
Five guards all under what? Just add Gerald Green, who's like a true guard. Like, what the hell are you doing with all them guards? Like, what is this? This is not an AAU team. Like, what are you doing? Like, explain. Like, that's what I'm saying. You look at it, none of the moves seem like winning basketball moves. It all seem like we're doing it to do something else, to do something else. And that seems like what the Sixers are doing. The only thing is that they're competitive, so it's like, oh, you really can't be that concerned because they're fighting for the eighth spot in, like, a really tough conference. And if they're in the West, if they're in the East, they're like, yo, we would have made this, so what are you talking about? But if I'm a fan of Phoenix, I'm like, what the hell y'all doing? Like, get somebody here who's about to play or get something, you know, something concrete or, yeah, what's good?
Right, looking back on it, I don't know exactly if their GM is the greatest GM in the world. Even when he signed the twins together, he signed them to a contract together, which is a little unheard of. You know, they're two different human beings. The guard thing situation that you were talking about, obviously they're not going to make the playoffs again this year, so he's probably got to be under the microscope. I mean, what do you think overall is the problem, Carlos?
I have so many problems with Phoenix. Their direction, at first they were a big proponent of the analytics team, the Rockets way of going about things, more threes, less twos. But they go to the three guards, and it seems like they just abandoned everything they were thinking about doing. They with the assets they had with Dragic and Isaiah Thomas, they didn't get anything back. I felt it was a fight. Brandon Knight is a nice acquisition, but I don't think that suffice for what a draft would call for on the trade market.
Yeah,
I also have a question about Paul George. How do you guys feel about him? About what Indiana Pacers is doing?
Right, I don't think the Indiana Pacers are fighting for the eighth spot. Shout out to Larry, Larry Bird and Danny Ainge both have like my utmost respect this year because they have. You probably could name 10 people on both of those teams combined, but they're both fighting for the AC. So definitely kudos, a big clap. I wish we had the clapping music right now, but a big clap to those two. As far as Paul George goes, I had so much faith in Paul George 2 playoffs ago, and then in game 2, I'm never going to forget this, that he are inbounding the ball. and he goes over top on the inbounds play and lets LeBron cut back to the basket. Ever since then, I've been done with Paul George. So, personally, I wish good luck for the guy. I mean, I'm rooting for the kid, but, like, ever since that play, I ain't got no words for Paul George. I'm really off him. So.
Right. I mean, I have faith that he'll be all right. But I think I don't know if he should sit out the rest of the year. I would want him to, but if he feels that he's good enough to come back and, you know, no further damage can be done, then definitely feel free, you know, try to get that A spot. But, guys, I have breaking news right now. James Harden suspended one game by the NBA after kicking LeBron yesterday.
Oh, okay. First of all, he never kicked LeBron. These are the LeBron rules. We're living in the LeBron day and age of the NBA. He extended his leg because LeBron was in his space. It was a reflection. It was a reflex, and he suspended. Are we going to talk about LeBron just hand-checked his man on numerous occasions? No fouls were called. The ref watched LeBron put him in an arm hook and just sat there and called nothing. And for the whole like, bro, if we're just going to let LeBron do this, sign me out of this and call me when he retires, because I'm not for this. We cannot make the LeBron rules. If this is what Jordan was going through, I can see why people don't like Jordan, because that's just ridiculous. This is ridiculous.
All right. I got another caller calling in, guys. We're gonna get right to him. Yo, caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's happening, man?
Man, I want to know what y'all think about the bottom half of the East. Specifically, the Magic and the Nets. What are they gonna do?
Man, let me take this one. This is it's just horrible right now. The East is just, the West is just so much better than the East. Even the worst teams are so much better than the Eastern teams. You know, you got teams like the 76ers who just don't care, who just trade away pieces like Michael Carter Williams. But as far as the Magic, they need something more. They need like a flat out score. I don't think they have that yet. And they, you know, they need a new coach. But the Nets, I mean, I guess they're pushing for the AC, right? They're probably eighth or seventh right now. But it's, I think the Nets just need to call it, you know, just wash it all out. I mean, which they're gonna have to do eventually. But I saw D. Will played a hell of a game the other night. I think against, who was it? Toronto Dallas. Or somebody? Dallas, yeah. He played very well against Dallas, so.
Look, for me personally, as far as the Nets go, I'm not going to say I like what they're doing, but it's like, when you look at them, they seem like they could be a very silent team that if they get one thing, like, they could be good. Like, D-Will is at the point of his career where he's still a very good player, but he can't be the player. So let's say they fall into something and, like, they get a Jahlil Okafor or they get a, you know, one of these toy type of guys where they're able to get someone. Brooklyn is always back to play. I think they'll be okay. As far as your Magic go, P, as long as if Bucci Man can get a coach and another scorer to go beside him, he'll be okay. If that does not happen, it's going to be some long years in Orlando. And as far as the rest of the East, it's okay. Like, I feel like the Celtics will be okay. I feel like the Pacers will be okay. And, you know, I feel like the Nets will be okay. I feel like a lot of teams will be okay. I feel like it's just really bad right now. So it really hurts to really watch sometimes. But I feel like a lot of these things will sort themselves out in, like, a year or two.
Quick question, guys. If you got the number one pick, who you going with right now?
I swear it really depends on team. I know people say that a lot, but I think it truly does. I think Jahlil, Moutier, and D'Angelo Russell have to be top three in no particular order.
I think I might have to go LeBron Nash.
Carl Towns Jr., that boy is nice. The boy is a problem.
I mean, no doubt, but we're talking top three pick.
I'm going Anthony Towns myself. Carl Anthony Towns.
How did I forget about
From Kentucky. That boy is nice. Second in making, but all-star in the making.
All college next show.
Speaking of Kentucky, they're going for 30-0 tomorrow, so stay tuned for that.
Basketball hour. That'll be great.
That'll be cool. But we are officially out of here. I am P. He is Chuck. Caller one, caller two, and we are out.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez.